Well, good morning, everyone. One Sunday, as the pastor was greeting the people as they left the sanctuary, a woman walked up to the pastor and said, "That was a pretty good sermon." In true Christian piety, the pastor said, "Well, thank you very much, but it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit." Without batting an eye, she tapped the pastor in the middle of his chest with a cane. She says, "Oh no, if it was the Holy Spirit, it would have been much better than that." You've heard me talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. I talk about him because of a very important reason. Because the Holy Spirit is the only way that God has chosen to truly interact with his church. He is the only way that God works through us. It's difficult to do God's bidding on our own without his guidance. Holy Spirit is God revealing himself to us. And Jesus knew this. He has something planned for his church, and he's going to use the church like never before. Today, we are continuing our walk through the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Just to review for a moment, last week we talked about what it meant when Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." He is the only way to the Father, and how he and the Father are one. He impressed upon Philip and the others that whatever he does is in direct response to the Father's will and bidding. He walks where the Father leads, and he says what the Father says. And then he gave the disciples even a bigger challenge. "You saw the works that I did. You saw the healings I did. You saw the miracles. You saw heard the teachings that I gave. You saw the directions that were given to me. Guess what, church? You're going to do all these things and greater because I go to be with the Father." And remember from our lesson last week, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in getting that accomplished, as I direct my will to you, I'll give it to you. Whatever you need." You see, Jesus has to leave so that the next step can happen. And the next step is so that we, the church, the body of Christ, can continue to be with him. Now, to some, those kind of instructions would seem like a huge burden. How in the world can I do that? How can I do the works of Jesus? How can I know that what the Father wants? It's almost like some are saying, "Jesus, you don't know the world that I live in. You don't know the people I have to deal with on a daily basis. You don't know the pressures of my life. Nothing ever works for me." But Jesus is saying, "Yes, I do. I know your pain. I know your suffering. I know your hardships. I know the pressures that you're under. I know because I endured them. I know because I took all of that to the cross. I know this world is not perfect. I know that sin has done to it." But Jesus also said, "Listen to me, church. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give another helper to be with you forever." Now, what does he mean? "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Remember, Jesus broke the Ten Commandments, that is the law, down into two parts. The first part, or the first half of the Ten Commandments, deal with our relationship with God. And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And the second half of the commandments deal with our relationship with one another. And Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And then he said, "On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, if the cry of your heart is to love God to the fullest with your whole being, if you have accepted Christ into your heart and you are seeking after him with your total being, he is in the process of transforming us and molding us into something beautiful, which actually makes those commandments come alive within us. He begins to change the sinful nature of our inner being and molding it into his character. And this wonderful relationship begins from within. Then we begin to see the second part more clearly. Love your neighbor as yourself, which is, let's face it, hard to do at times, isn't it? The sad thing is that many Christians stop at the first half. We begin to take God where we want to take him so that we can feel safe and where we are comfortable. We go to services on Sunday and we worship God and we feel comfortable, and we go home where we feel comfortable. We choose friends that make us feel comfortable, and we take God with us, and we all say, that's nice. So we build this comfortable world around us. But in doing that, it's easy to let the fears and frustrations of the world around us, that is the culture of the world around us, to hamper what God might really have for you to do. I'm not saying it's bad to feel comfortable, but I think God also wants to reach for us to reach out outside our comfort levels at times. I think a lot of fear of stepping out is because we think that we are in this alone, and we just are taking God along for the ride. It goes back to a very misleading bumper sticker that I know I've shared with you before, but it reads, God is my co-pilot. And there was another bumper sticker that came out right after that that read, if God is your co-pilot, change seats. Which is true. God's world is so much bigger than we think it is, even in our own backyards, in our community. But look at what Jesus went on to say. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. Jesus is promising his disciples and those who love him and seek after him, his very Spirit. This is something no other so-called God can do. Through Jesus Christ, his presence is with us. His Spirit will reveal his truth to you. His Spirit will allow his word to come alive in you. His Spirit will strengthen you. We're not alone in this wonderful relationship with the Father. However, there are those around us who refuse to even acknowledge God, those who are in the world, those who are taken in by the culture around them. That is what prompted Judas, not Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, but another Judas, to ask the question when Jesus was talking about this. And it's really the title of my sermon today. Why us and not the world, is what Judas asked. Jesus said, if the world loved me, they would know. If anyone loves me, they can have what I have to give them. Why us? Because Judas, you chose to love me, and I want to use you as well. Let's take sports as an example. And we can poke holes into any example that we come up with, but right now we're well within baseball season, right? And we have people in this congregation who grew up in different areas of the country. Many have their favorite teams. And even though we might poke a little fun at each other, we love each other because we have a bond that is greater than sports, believe it or not. Bigger than the New York Yankees. Bigger than the Boston Red Sox. Bigger than the Detroit Tigers. And even bigger than the Tampa Bay Rays, even though they beat New York the last 2 days in a row. Well, bigger than them too. Sorry. Because we are bonded by the very Spirit of God. But go to a game and you will see some fans, not all of them, no matter what team they're rooting for, and you'll see what really lingers in their heart at times. Not all of them, but some will let loose with such hate of others who root for the other team. And we see it in politics as well. Many times when I'm at a game and one of those kinds of people start manifesting their feelings, I actually start praying for them. How can I be an example to that person? I think this kind of reflects the whole world around us. Jesus gave us a mandate. Before he ascended, he said, go and make disciples. In other words, go and represent me in the world around you. Go as I lead, I will guide you. He said, go into the world, but not be a part of it. That means to be around them, but remember who you are and don't conform to it. I've known some Christians who sometimes try to act like chameleons in the world. Whoever they're around, that's kind of who they become. I've shared on occasion when I went to work in the aerospace industry, I was young in the Lord. And there were temptations to just do that, just to blend in so that I'm not seen as who I really am. But I also knew that I had something far greater that gave me strength that I came to learn even more as I grew in the Lord. I had the Spirit of the living God working in and through me as I call on him. I was by no means perfect. None of us are. Certainly the people around us were perfect. But God is. And he gives the body of Christ the power and the strength to do his bidding, even in the midst of our own imperfections and all the imperfections around us. Coincidentally, this week I began another attempt to read the Bible through the summer months, trying to accomplish it in 3 months. I did this a few years ago, so I decided I'll try to do it again. And except this time I'm doing it chronologically. And Thursday, when I started it, there was a verse that in Genesis that just flew off the pages at me. And it so coincided with my sermon today. It was about Cain was having a heart issue with jealousy with his brother. And God comes to Cain, actually pleading with him to change his heart at what he was about to do. And says this as a warning. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. He wanted Cain to examine his heart. But of course, we know the outcome of that story. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to us, gives guidance, gives hope, and he gives his love because sin is always crouching at the door. As I was walking through all those things in my younger life and now, I also knew some of the other things that were going on in my life. I also knew I had a wife who was there to pray for me and with me as I did for her as she faced the world around her. I had a church body that supported me and nurtured me as we all did for one another. I had a home group that supported me and surrounded me as we each did for one another. And all of us together in the midst of our imperfections, in the midst of the world that rises up and to take us in any kind of direction, have a God who loves us and wants us to listen to him and to be led by his Spirit. Because he needs us out there. Listen to what Peter said. Have no fear of them, meaning those in the world around you, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. In other words, you are reflecting Christ around you. People will notice. Some will respond. Others will criticize. But we need to pray and listen for his leading. And folks, that is what the Holy Spirit does for all of us. He not only gives us strength, he allows us to be used and to minister to others. We can choose to just be in our own comfort zones and try to make our world perfect, a perfect little world. But the world isn't like that, is it? Every single person has to deal with an imperfect world. Every single person has to deal with others, other imperfections, and our own. God has put all of us here for a reason. He has something wonderful for all of us to do. A while back, the Lord gave me these words that I will close with. We live in an imperfect world surrounded by imperfect people who all make imperfect actions that irritate our imperfect minds. But thanks be to God, we serve a perfect God who came to us in the perfect person of Jesus Christ, who gave us his perfect spirit to heal and deal with all of our imperfections. I encourage you today, put your trust in God. Seek after him with all of your heart. Allow him to fill you with his spirit and see what God will do through you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit. Father, that you want to use each person here in this room. You have us here for a reason. There's nobody here today by mistake. So Father, I ask that you would just light the fire in our hearts for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to become alive within us. Why us, Lord? Because you chose us. And we are here for you. Allow us to be those people you called us to be so that when we leave this place and walk out of this room, we may be your ambassadors in the world around us and not fear what is happening around us because you are there with us to guide us, to lead us, give us words to say. Whatever it is that's out there, Lord, for us, we ask, Lord, that you would help us. Fill us with your presence and use us in a mighty way. Use us as a parish. And I pray for pastors all over this community, Lord God, who are working for the same thing, who are being examples of who you are in a world around them, and churches, the body of Christ around this community, Lord God, who are doing the same thing, being supported by others. Father, use your church in a mighty, mighty way. And we thank you, Father. We give you the honor and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.